welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back, and it is now or never. And as we go through this on a regular basis, and usually I expound upon this, that debt is fraud. Got to remember that if you don't have the authority to write the check you're writing is a fraudulent check. And so most people think that the 16th Amendment is the problem. And I'm here to tell you that as we examine what Trump can do in his presidency, we're going to be talking a little bit towards the 16th Amendment. But the reality is the 16th Amendment did not give the federal government the ability to spend money on anything they didn't have the authority. It just changed the way they would have a direct tax from an apportionment out to the states equally or as an income tax. Now, technically, when the income tax was levied, the income tax had, or I should say, when the 16th Amendment was ratified and the language that was used in the 16th Amendment as well as its description, there was no accounting for the uniformity clause. In other words, the direct tax that they were now shifting from an apportionment to income still required uniformity. The fact that they are playing the game of you pay more, you pay more, you pay more, and those of you who don't, you know, want to actually be a leech, we're going to pay you and you don't pay anything. So the fact of the matter is, the implementation of the 16th Amendment was a direct violation of the Constitution because the amendment did not account for that type of implementation. So anyway, another thing you got to also keep in mind, that the 16th Amendment did not give the federal government a green light to be able to go out and just spend money on anything that they didn't have the authority to spend. And as a matter of fact, if you, because you have access to the check and you write a check for something you have no authority to spend that money on, that makes it fraud, which ergo, when we look at that debt and we actually look at where all of that money had been going out of the annual income that was coming in and what they had to spend on legitimate government functions, in contrast to all of the other things that were illegitimate, there's that much illegitimate government that they're spending money on, folks. That's the whole point. That's why that is fraud. And as a matter of fact, we're losing because we're paying we're paying legitimate money on illegitimate things in addition to the debt. So they're draining us. And this is all a setup. This is kind of what we're going to get into today, or actually over the next two Trump constitutional president discussions. So anyway, we also call upon you, and I'm going to be broadcasting from this point forward probably with this permanent frog in my throat, but it is what it is. So hopefully you can give me a little bit of allowance for having to do it this way. But anyway, as we look at the spiritual tool that we have in invoking an appeal to heaven, we definitely believe, and this is something that John Locke even talked about as an appeal to heaven. We definitely need to start appealing to heaven. And we welcome your either joining Loudoun Liberty Prayer Circle. The information is on the Red State Talk Radio podcast page and or on Reclaiming the Republic, my Reclaiming the Republic Red State Talk Radio podcast page. I don't want to gloss over that because sometimes people go to Red State Talk Radio. Oh, there's a host page. There's nothing there. No, it's actually on Reclaiming the Republic, folks. And with that, you're more than welcome to start your own. And if you do start your own for a state area or a regional area or what have you, you want to have your group doing something, then by all means, let us know. We'll add you to that list. Anyway, and people can join yours. And as a matter of fact, how great would it be if we actually had people, organizations in all 50 states end up, you know, driving or calling upon, you know, a or providing access to a prayer circle where people could actually, you know, join together in prayer to saving, calling upon heaven to help us save this Constitution and our liberty. Anyway, another standing thing that I started since last week is Your Can Begins Today. And the reason I'm including this is because we need you to keep perspective that we have to drive, if we're going to have a movement, we have to drive the information. We have to provide the narrative of all of these people who just got elected did not deserve to be elected. And we have to say, hey, we mentioned this last election period, and we're not going to go away. Folks, it is the persistent squeaky wheel that gets the oil. Just because you squeaked and you didn't get what you wanted the first time around, if it's an old folks home, you know, corridor that kind of wraps around the floor, whatever, the hospital, whatever it is, whatever metaphorically you want to use. You have to be persistent because the persistent squeaky wheel will get the oil. This is supported. I mean, that adage is maybe a stereotype, but that stereotype exists because it's actually true. It's effective. So we have to build a public relations campaign, and we have to stick to it, and we actually have to, you know, after the election, even though those people won, it doesn't mean you can't congratulate them on their success, but you have to tell them that even though we know you're not going to change, we're still going to hold you accountable. And until you either start being held accountable and you start doing the right thing, or we're going to continually call you out and we're going to continually identify the atrocities of your service. Anyway, I also last week, and for a long time, I've really been emphasizing the importance that every citizen needs to start standing up against government infractions against the Constitution. Now, interestingly enough, it seems like very many states are starting to implement very aggressive, hostile tax, or I should say energy policies that are going to inflict just this terrible disease upon their people, because these are so oppressive, it is going to put so many people in the poorhouse. And what it's going to do is it's going to kill people. Folks, remember that when you get hit with really bad weather, you know, like Texas, and your energy bill or your energy grid goes down because they've moved their energy to a ridiculous, illogical energy providing source such as wind and or solar, and then all of a sudden you have a hard cold snap, no wind, no sun, and everybody's freezing to death. This kills people. It killed people in Texas. It's just like, you know, overheat. You know, no wind, you can't say no sun in the heat, but bottom line, we have energy processes and systems that actually work. And as a matter of fact, they're not contributing. Coal has become a very clean energy source. And so you better start stepping up, and we have First Amendment petitions so that you can use these things. So please start getting organized. We've created a repository of petitions. We got not a total of 20, but there's 20 labels out there. There's a 21. We're in the works of doing the other ones. But the point is that you can take action. You can start your campaign. You can start marching against these people in office and start cleaning up your county and your state. It's that simple. Now, I said last week, and I'll say it again today, a timber nation is no longer fulfilling orders. So if you hear any content regarding timber nation, just to be clear, from this point on, those promos that may have been already pre-recorded that say, you know, check out Timber Nation. That doesn't mean not to check out Timber Nation. It's just that you will not be able to get any of your orders you've put in. Now, it doesn't mean that they still don't make a great product. You just won't get it by Christmas. So I will dive into this sponsorship. And as a matter of fact, what I want to do is I want to have a roundtable, because we would like to actually bring patriotic corporations on that are willing to commit to supporting constitutional candidates. In other words, people who have actually pledged to the Constitution, signed our pledge, that they will fully support the Constitution in their public service endeavors, so that they will not violate their oath. And if they do, they will step down. Folks, if we start doing this, then we're going to get a huge change in the outcome of our government, because our government is actually going to start cleaning itself up. Because when they look at things that they're doing that is not legitimate, they're going to have to call those things out that are not legitimate and try to create a sentiment. And bottom line, what we want to work with them so that they can start telling us, these are the people that are leading the charge against your liberties. These are the people that are trying to destroy you with these stupid Agenda 2030, these agenda plans, the international or the UN globalist government plan in implementing policies, laws, and processes that will actually and slowly move us into blight and our destruction. And so, folks, we're here to tell you, and we're here to help getting your county back and your state back. So please check out our petitions page. And if you have any questions, just let us know. Because we actually have meetings on a regular basis, and there's no reason why we can't be helping and supporting you. Anyway, let me dive into the Trump presidency. And as a matter of fact, on the 15th of November, we covered the invasion. The 18th, we covered the currency. The 22nd, we covered a full removal of the UN and all subjugation to international treaties. On the 25th, the immediate appeal to states to basically do their part in dismantling all of this unconstitutional government. The 29th, we dealt with the lockdown on the Department of Justice and making the Department of Justice focused on compliance to the Constitution. In other words, going after first Congress, the rest of the federal positions, as well as states, any public servant that is violating the oath, they have the power to remove them. The law is already in the Constitution. We can just demand that the law be enforced. Doesn't matter if they may have these vestiges that are actually unconstitutional. Those who are purporting and supporting those things, you can actually start removing them. And then bottom line, we can be heading down this path of actually dismantling all of this unconstitutional government, because everybody's getting the point. They're starting to understand that we're no longer going to allow you to allow our government to bankrupt us. I want you to understand that. We're going to no longer allow our government to put us into bankruptcy, because that bankruptcy would be unconstitutional. Ergo, that unconstitutional vestige, that unconstitutional assertion of power is basically driving this fraudulent move for us to be destroyed. If we capitulate, if we actually go bankrupt, that is a fraudulent bankruptcy. Does that make sense? In other words, they don't have the authority to do this, and all of that money that we're looking at that is considered debt is fraud. So what they're basically doing is we're being set up. We're being set up so that we surrender, because we've been looking at this and, oh, yeah, they've got all this debt. No, we owe all this money. They're inflating our currency. Our government is waging warfare against us because they're directly violating the Constitution. This is one of the reasons why we focus on these five critical documents and how Madison basically is teaching us what we have to do. Okay, so currently, going back into the Trump presidency, we're looking at the retraction of the staffing on the 2nd of December, That's when we started talking about retracting the staffing and offices of the Department of Interior. On the 6th, we talked about state sovereignty and the ability to sell any form of resource to a foreign country within the union, within any state or within United States property or what have you. And so today, what we're going to talk about is restoring imposts and disbanding all foreign holdings within the United States. And so as we look at this, the simple concept of restoring imposts on all imported goods, the reason we need to do this, folks, don't think that there's a free market economy and the free exchange of goods is occurring. What we're receiving is basically imposted exports. In other words, everything that is coming in from a foreign state has a value-added tax. In other words, we're subsidizing the government's involvement in their labor and their production. In other words, when you look at the European value-added tax, the EU and the states where that goods are coming from, those states are actually placing an additional tax on top of those goods that you buy, the French wine or what have you. 9 times out of 10, it's across the board. There's certain things that they want to promote because they need to sell those things. But the value-added tax is definitely a tax that's placed upon their goods. If they're going to add those taxes, then we need to place imposts on those, because bottom line, as we start applying the imposts on all goods that are coming in because of the value-added tax and or government subsidies. Just to be clear, when you look at anything coming from Japan, or you're looking from anything coming from a lot of these nations, those corporations are subsidized by the government. Germany, it's all subsidized by the government. This is why people get one-month layoffs, or not layoffs, but furloughs or vacations. They're going on vacation. Holiday is what they call it. And so we have to actually restore our imposts so that we can actually put the real burden back onto them. Therefore, by imposting these things that have these add-ons to cover their subsidies, then that actually shifts the availability, and it'll actually shift manufacturing and the production back to America. Because when people look at how much they're going to spend, and any entrepreneur can say, you know what, we can be building this stuff a lot cheaper and selling it for the profit that they're losing, or I should say that these foreign nations will lose by not selling here. We have to start utilizing the imposts, because that's how the federal government actually paid its bills. When they started allowing the shenanigans to move forward where they were not creating imposts and they were actually subsidizing, because you got to understand, in a mercantile system, the government is levying taxes upon their own goods, and they're controlling manufacturing and so forth. And therefore, those types of controls and manipulations are being driven. And if we are allowing them to come in without any imposts upon them, then this is how they can actually wage that kind of economic warfare. They undersell, but the government is paying for that. And here's the other problem. We'll get into this next week, that we are actually paying for those things, because as we loan money and give money to these world states, we're paying for their subsidies. In other words, we're paying them to help produce so that we can bring it in here. We're not being protected at all by that added cost, and therefore we're hurting ourselves economically. We're paying on both ends of this. America has been subsidizing the growth of socialism throughout the world, and we got to be done with this. We've got to stop. We have to stop before it actually destroys us, and we're at the precipice. That's why we've been talking, it's now or never. As we look at this, any and all foreign businesses operating in the United States, on the flip side of this, because we've talked about this, we've talked about in the last show, foreign sovereignty, so we're building off of that. So any foreign business operating within the United States, territories, or what have you, would have 6 months or at most a year to fully remove any and all personnel who are here, who are operating on work visas in supporting this undermining of America. This guise of unconstitutional asset transfer has to be directly addressed. Trump needs to explain that every foreign political bank, banking, and corporate leader should already know this, but he needs to explain this to the world, that we have a limited and defined government that cannot do anything that is not enumerated within the Constitution without formal delegation of powers to the federal government to open up states to allow foreign ownership of anything. The fact that this was done over the past few decades, put in motion by the Bushes, Clintons, and the Obama administration, any and all transfers that were done, actually it even started under Reagan and before that, when American corporations like General Motors in the 80s, in the 70s, we started actually reaching out. And this all goes back to World War II and World War I with the League of Nations and the World UN, this world global governance concept. And so we actually have to stop this, I'll just say, this transfer that we are literally giving up and selling out America to this globalist concept. And so anyway, as we go through this and have to deal with these former administrations that have created these transfers that were done illegitimately, we'll basically need to actually rectify those things, identify every asset, every property, every parcel, and say, that's going back. We were with the deed that transfer, the paper that transfer was written on is worthless. Those deeds are not valid deeds. And so it's unrealistic to just snap the finger and everybody's going to be transferred back and so forth. But it has to stop and it has to be undone. And so Trump will need to use his Justice Department to do a thorough scrub to identify all who were involved on both ends of this. In other words, who are the names that actually said, yeah, we're going to make this happen? Those people need to be identified, and those people on our side will be tried for treason. Trump can only ask foreign states for their cooperation in this and holding their citizens that were involved in violating our Constitution and creating these problems need to be held accountable. Now, I don't expect them to do anything. And in light of the fact that foreign states may be interested in getting their pound of flesh out of America or out of the American politicians, possibly, we will actually offer that those politicians who have committed treasons, in other words, once they've been tried, once they've been convicted, instead of hanging them, if they want to try and convict them, we will be happy to deport them and banish these traitors into their custody. That these, you know, they'll lose everything. And everything that they get, in other words, when we look at the Constitution, even though the Constitution says U.S. citizens cannot lose property, they're going to lose their citizenship. And in so doing, we're going to follow the Tory Acts. Coming up January 2nd, I will go through the Tory Acts. We're going to follow the precedents of the Tory Acts. Anybody that is absolutely supporting a foreign government is a traitor, and they will be deported. Now, technically, we could actually execute based on the Constitution that they deserve the punishment of being hanged. However, I believe that all we need to do is just ship these people out. We'll gain all of their assets and resources, them and their family, gone. Gone. That's what happened with the Tory Acts. The entire family, the entire household, gone. Folks, if you're out there, and you're a progressive and you're waging an insurgency against the Constitution, you better be aware of the facts, because you're standing in peril. If we succeed in waking up and restoring this constitutional republic, you will lose your citizenship, and possibly, even better yet, you may get deported. I say better yet for America, because I'm not an advocate of allowing enemies to remain within the household. I mean, it is antithetical to the security and the benefit and the well-being of the household by allowing enemies to persist. We'll be right back after this promo. Thank you so much.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so I think we kind of closed this. I think the takeaway is that there is no credence, there's no constitutionality, and therefore this possession of any state resource that the federal government claims to possess, that's got to go away. The federal government cannot claim any land within a state, one, that they didn't pay for, and two, that it wasn't enumerated in the Constitution. Folks, we have a petition that addresses this. It's petition 21. Go to the petition page and read the argument. The states can't even offer up state assets or resources, because who does the union belong to? The union belongs to the states and the people of the states. And when you look at the states, who does the state belong to? It belongs to the counties and the people of the counties. And ergo, when we really look at it, when our state government and or the federal government or even our county government is allowing the transfer of our property, our assets, our resources, our corporations, whatever it is, to a foreign entity, they're committing treason. You get it? It's that simple. So as we kind of wrap this up, because last week we didn't get a chance to dive into what I was going to cover before I get into common law. And so there were a few things that I thought were kind of important. And actually, one thing that's kind of crept in is this AOC or Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, or what I would say, Cortez the Communist, Cortez the Terrible, because just remember, Cortez the Terrible, I mean, he acquired that name because of his ruthlessness. And I'm telling you that anybody that's a communist is ruthless. When these people, if they succeed, look at the empirical data over the course of history, when statist governments take over, they kill and destroy anything that they perceive as a threat. They destroy their monuments. They destroy their history books. They destroy everything that creates a threat. And I'm here to tell you that they've already been doing these things. What that means is that they're either so emboldened, or they have crossed a threshold where they believe there's no point in return. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's now or never, because they believe they're at that point. They believe they can do this. But the things that are still vulnerable are the counties and the states, because the states have not surrendered their constitutional authority over that constitution. They are the parties to it. And the only way the federal government can actually give away America to the globalists is for the states to say nothing, just to allow that to happen. And this is why there's been a huge movement over the past 50 to 100 years in getting progressives into Republican positions, so that those people will bite their tongue as rhinos and allow this to happen. Do you think it's important? Let me just ask. Let's slow it down a little bit. How important do you think it is for you and creating a partnership between you and local businesses to actually wake up and say, we have a desperate need of constitutional compliant public servants? We are in, I'll just say, we're in a deficit. We're in an arrears. And I say this because there's not very many people that understand the Constitution. They don't know what's constitutional. They haven't read it. I mean, the constitutional illiteracy is the cause to most all of our problems, if not all of them. And so when we look at what's happening, because AOC is basically being set up as the anointed one to take the top Democratic role in the House of Representatives, that's important, folks. You can't marginalize this. They're creating the new crowns of their new princesses and princes, and they're getting ready to set up for their new king that they're planning on setting the stage for 2028. Now, on the other side of this, I honestly believe, because as we see things going back and forth, it's either the Republicans or the Democrats, the Republicans or the Democrats, the conservative tyranny or the immoral tyranny. The moral tyranny, that's a good mix there. The moral tyranny or immoral tyranny. What is it? Are we better off with a moral tyranny or are we better off with an immoral tyranny? Either way, not one side is willing to surrender and get rid of unconstitutional government and get us back into the framework of the Constitution. Ergo, why do you allow this cycle to continue? Ergo, I have to appeal to you. Do you not understand the essential criteria? We cannot take this country back if we do not have people in the seats of government that will actually take this country back. It's not a conservative person. An illiterate person on the Constitution, whether moral or immoral, doesn't matter. They are going to continue to wage tyranny, and they will not correct the ship. Only those who understand the Constitution and understand the importance of peeling this back. Now, I will say, and I will ask you for your continued prayers, that we can get things moving in Washington State as well as Wyoming, because we actually have some real traction on the ground. We've got good people that are doing their best. We've got basically till the year's end to actually get, I would say, enough momentum in Washington State to where we're going to create a constitutional compliance committee. And in Wyoming, we've got the same movement, but that's within the GOP. I mean, in other words, the entire state party. I've said this for years, since 2018, when the Wyoming State Party embraced the concept of constitutional compliance and republic review. In 2018, when they did that, I've been saying that the only state where you can actually have a Republican Party that embraces the Constitution right now, currently, is Wyoming. There's not one other state that has that Republican Party commitment. Not one. In other words, every other state, the Republican Party is rife with, I will just say, these rhinos, these operators who are trying to maintain the status quo, to keep going back and forth between moral tyranny and immoral tyranny. They're the two sides of the same coin, folks. And I know you've heard all of these cliches. The only way we can actually change things and put an end to those types of cliches is by demanding constitutional compliance. So back to the sponsorship that I was kind of mentioning on Friday. We need to have an honest discussion with corporations and companies, small businesses or what have you, if they would please provide whatever they can out of their profits. And I'd like to see these types of commitments. Don't worry. This is not for me. This is not to put money in my pocket. I'm going to ask Timber Nation. I'm going to ask any and every other company out there, small business or what have you, that they contribute in every campaign to politicians that have signed our pledge. We want you to have pledges for your state. We want these pledges on your domain so that you can start identifying all of the people who have signed that pledge and getting people to say, we're giving our money, we're putting our votes, and we're supporting, we're getting out knocking doors. We're going to do what it takes to get constitutional compliant, constitutionally minded public servants into office. Folks, that's what it takes. I hate to say this, but there is money involved in politics, but it becomes less and less. And literally, it becomes less and less, because when we all agree, then we don't even need to spend money. It literally becomes the choice of who's best, who understands the Constitution best. Well, how do you get there? Well, one of the things I'm probably going to publish is I'm going to probably publish an initial vetting form. That way, in the initial vetting form, you'll actually find out, you know, how compliant your public servant currently is and how aware they are of the Constitution, because there's a test. This initial vetting form will hopefully set the stage that will actually be taken over by a test and continued education. In other words, if you have public servants, they need to be maintaining continued education so that they understand the Constitution better and better and better, the principles behind this, so that they actually start understanding how important it is for this rule of law and this limited and defined government to maintain itself, to discipline itself, to stay within those boundaries without Trump. We should not allow public servants to even think about breaching the Constitution. This goes back to like the Tory Acts, when you actually have a public servant that proposes that they assume a power or spend money on something that they don't have the power to do. Why aren't we considering that conversation treasonous? And if they act upon that, I mean, if they're bringing up these ideas, well, let's institute a healthcare program. It's one thing to say we need to amend the Constitution and actually sell the idea of why we need to do that instead of seeking a compromise and usurping power. As a matter of fact, there's ways to actually keep that from ever happening again. As a matter of fact, there, if you have a constitutional review committee in your state, at the state level, any bill, once we're done with all of this, once Republic Review is done, that committee will then be destaffed to the level to where, you know, it'll be able to perform necessary functions, such as if a bill comes to the state and it's going to go to the floor, or actually it's going to go into a committee first for consideration, that bill has to be scrubbed. And if that bill is going to point towards any unconstitutional exertions by your government, a power, a taxation, any kind of regulations, anything, and it's unconstitutional, it's not within their delegated powers, it gets torn up, and the author of that gets identified because he submitted that to be a part of the legislative body. In other words, any sponsor, any legislature that actually hands over into the legislative office for consideration or trying to get this bill into the legislative session, and it is flagged as an unconstitutional attempt, a violation. In other words, this attempt would be a violation of the Constitution. The author and the sponsors that sign that bill will be flagged and will be needed to be punished. In other words, they'll either receive a first and final, or they will be removed and banned for life, period. This is how we got to get there, folks. We have to get there. But the only way we get there is when people understand the beauty of having the rule of law and having a truly limited and defined government functioning for us. Do you want government to provide you all these services? Then if so, we need to delegate it smartly so that they do it the way we've delegated, right? We don't want our energy policy at the federal level where the federal government is constantly selling us downriver and giving advantages to OPEC. OPEC would never exist had we actually stood up and did the right thing. But that's another story for another show. There's a few other things I wanted to get into. Excuse me. I'm not sure if you know this, but we've got a lot of people in office throughout the globe. This is the global undermining of society. But I find it interesting that people really want to go down the path because two European satellites were successfully launched in orbit on Thursday. And now this is the beginning of this new pioneering effort of creating artificial solar eclipses. Do you understand what I just said? They're now actually trying to create conditions so that they can actually mystify people or that they can create a problem. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Because if you can start blocking the sun artificially, then how much can you cool the earth by not allowing sun to hit the earth? Do you understand the evil of these people that are trying to play God? This, we have to stop. And the only way, because these corporations, these companies, or I should say these countries and corporations that are all behind all of this stuff, if we actually took back this nation and stopped subsidizing communism around the world, these guys would not be able to afford to do this stuff. And if we actually held our technology instead of letting Clinton actually give it away to everybody. When he gives it to China, China gives it away. And so if you're not aware of that, on my Red State Talk Radio podcast page, I'm positive it's there. If you go all the way to the bottom, I have a link that exposes how Clinton gave away technology to China that he should have dangled at the end of the rope while he was in office. That's how treasonous Bill Clinton was. Anyway, Biden, if you haven't heard this either, Biden has been basically not been. Biden has committed the United States $4 billion to the World Bank so that they, an unaccountable entity, can then give money to the poorest nations. And the World Bank just made well over $100 billion in donations from foreign states, basically throwing all of this money into the World Bank so that they can play manipulator of the poorest countries of the world. Do you understand what's going on? Do you understand what you're paying for? Where do you think that $4 billion is coming from? There's also a big push, and I don't want to necessarily come out as, you know, pro-Chinese, but TikTok is going to be banned. Things on the internet are going to be banned, and we're going down that path of censorship. Now we can start censoring. We have the ability to actually stop everything that's coming from China. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, when you're talking about anything from China, it should be shut down. We have the ability to not allow anything that's originating out of the Chinese domain into America. It's all about networking, folks, and they can actually shut those things down. And we have the ability to shut down any state that actually allows to be a surrogate to broadcast China's crap. In other words, if China can redirect themselves through Scandinavia, Germany, or whatever, through Holland, Norway, or what have you, any nation that says, well, we want to be neutral and we'll allow it to transmit through us. And if that's the case, then we block them too. We have the ability to do these things. We had the ability, and you've heard me say this. As a matter of fact, this has been said back all the way to the early 90s. This is when the idea of creating a .xxx domain, or I should say, a domain area, because you got .com, .org, you got .gov, creating a .xxx for anything that is of a mature nature. In other words, if you were a business, you can't be a .com if you are obscene in nature. If you're, you know, adult material, pornography, those types of things have to be at a .xxx. By doing that, then now you can actually, for those people who don't want .xxx traffic coming into their home, they can actually stop it. But by hiding behind a .com, .org, or what have you, .us, .net, but if you created these parameters where every, okay, you know, it, cities used to do this. Cities didn't want to have censorship, so they actually created little areas where it was legal for topless bars, pornography centers, and so forth, because the people said, we want the First Amendment right or whatever, because they started giving up their decency laws. A civil society maintains discipline on those things that help promote and elevate their society. There's no doubt in my mind that when you look at these types of things existing, pornography, prostitution, you know, human trafficking, when you allow those things to persist, you're allowing a basically debauchery or a degeneration of your enlightened society. You're debasing yourself. And so we have the ability to actually start putting lanes in the road so that we can start working towards discipline and actually having a society that is becoming enlightened again. That being said, anyway, when we talk about banning TikTok and you hear people going after TikTok, to me, that is a bunch of hypocrisy. Because we're allowing China to actually kill. I mean, how easy would it be for the Chinese warriors that are, you know, in China conducting cyber warfare against America? How easy would it be for them to get in here if we actually denied access to them over the domain? It's like, you know, any aircraft that is Chinese, you know, military aircraft, just like Russia, they're not allowed to come across our airspace without prior knowledge and notification and either escorting or what have you. I mean, there are conditions and standards that we create. It's the same thing. Like, we don't do it to them. We respect the sovereignty and we respect the fact that we're enemies. And so there's, you know, these standards of conducting ourselves with these standards. It's the same thing with shipping and so forth. Anyway, it's just a bunch of hypocrisy. Now, the one thing I didn't get into last week that I think is really critical that I wanted to still bring up is, if you haven't heard, it was actually a while ago, Governor Kathy Hochul? Anyway, the governor of New York, and I'd have to hear it because it's H-O-C-H-U-L. And I think it's pronounced kind of weird the way you say it, but doesn't matter. This governor, Kathy, she's a Karen. And today, or actually not today, it was a while ago. I hadn't had a chance to announce this. She basically wanted to make, and she did, she successfully has made New York the first in the nation, an empire of artificial intelligence. In other words, they want to basically develop and have AI involved in their government. Now, do you understand this? I think that there's been enough movies to realize how this could go wrong in so many ways. And when you have evil people who don't care about life, who don't care about your liberty, who don't care about you, when you're giving them this type of access and this type of power, this is dangerous and deadly. And guess who's funding this? The taxpayers. And when we see other governments going and doing the same thing, in other words, you know, we had the common sense to realize that after the damage of the use of a hydrogen bomb or an atomic bomb is not hospitable for the Earth for a while. And we kind of understand that when you basically get the genie out of a bottle, it's hard to get that genie back in. Why is it that we're running with reckless abandon, unleashing AI into our space, into our lives, and into our world? Why would we do this? Help me out here, folks. Now, I know that there's a lot of transitions that need to occur before machines can make machines. But why would we even let them out of that bottle? Does that understand? I mean, is that making sense? Do you understand what I'm saying? And we see this happening in New York. And actually, in the last week, I was on a call. And this happens everywhere. But this happened in New York in the call we had with New York this last week. It was brought up that the education system, the bureaucracy, that the state bureaucracy is basically mandating. And they're doing this. They're creating these mandates, you know, under the guise of a time when nobody's thinking about it. Like on Christmas Day, they'll transmit this. Oh, we're doing this so that the news media doesn't announce it. There's deliberate deceit behind what they are doing. And as a matter of fact, the state legislature has empowered these bureaucracies to be able to create regulations. Now, folks, at the state level, when you have bureaucracies creating your laws and enforcing your laws, you no longer have a Republican form of government. You have an executive form of government and a judiciary form of government because they've already regulated or they've allowed the courts to create law and they've allowed the courts to go down the path of basically being able to manipulate the law and your lives through their rulings. We also see that the state has allowed the parties to control the political system. You have to start demanding your Republican form of government. When you read every single one of the petitions we have, we lay the premise that we are guaranteed a Republican form of government, and we have to start demanding that our representatives take their power back because our constitutions delegated the power to them. There is nowhere in your state constitution that where they've actually allowed and delegated power to the parties, where we've allowed them to delegate the regulation powers to the parties. And yet the parties are writing the laws to do these things. Corporations are writing laws, handing them over to the legislature. They're just rubber stamping them, and they're creating laws to force you to buy new tires or what have you. All of these things are not within their delegated powers. Almost every law that's being created is being created under the guise that your state government has unlimited powers and general powers. That's not the case. You need to start, if you don't have a copy of your state constitution, and when I say a copy, not a PDF copy, a Word document that you can actually start, you know, doing word searches, highlighting, making comments, and all sorts of things like that, where you can actually manage that data and capture it without, you don't, I understand looking at it's nice, but when you can actually make note, when you can actually go into a document and see, you know, all your discoveries so you can remind yourself all those things that are in there so you can stay on top of that, then now you're really working in understanding your Constitution and understanding your government. That's what we have to do with the U.S. Constitution, too. It's about ending our illiteracy on our constitutions. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.